not even to each other. But many of us believed it would be a first rung toward achieving what the men got right out of college. Positions as officers, our own offices with lamps that gave off a flattering light, plush rugs, wooden desks, our own typists taking down our dictation. We thought of it as a beginning, not an end, despite what we'd been told all our lives. Other women came to the agency not to start their careers, but to round them out. Leftovers from the OSS, where they'd been legends during the war. They'd become relics relegated to the typing pool, or the records department, or some desk in some corner with nothing to do. There was Betty. During the war, she ran Black Ops, striking blows at opposition morale by planting newspaper articles and dropping propaganda flyers from airplanes. We'd heard she once provided dynamite to a man who blew up a resource train as it passed over a bridge somewhere in Burma. We could never be sure what was true and what wasn't. Those old OSS records had a way of disappearing. But what we did know was that at the agency, Betty sat at a desk along with the rest of us, the Ivy League men who were her peers during the war, having become her bosses. We think of Virginia sitting at a similar desk, her thick yellow cardigan wrapped around her shoulders no matter the season, a pencil stuck in the bun atop her head. We think of her one fuzzy blue slipper underneath her desk, no need for the other, her left leg amputated after a childhood hunting accident. She'd named her prosthetic leg Cuthbert, and if she had too many drinks, she'd take it off and hand it to you. Virginia rarely spoke of her time in the OSS, and if you hadn't heard the secondhand stories about her spy days, you'd think she was just another aging government gal. But we'd heard the stories. Like the time she disguised herself as a milkmaid and led a herd of cows and two French resistance fighters to the border. How the Gestapo had called her one of the most dangerous of the Allied spies, Cuthbert and all. Sometimes Virginia would pass us in the hall, or we'd share an elevator with her, or we'd see her waiting for the number 16 bus at the corner of E and 21st. We'd want to stop and ask her about her days fighting the Nazis, about whether she still thought of those days while sitting at that desk, waiting for the next war, or for someone to tell her to go home. They'd tried to push the OSS gals out for years. They had no use for them in their new Cold War. Those same fingers that once pulled triggers had become better suited for the typewriter, it seemed. But who were we to complain? It was a good job, and we were lucky to have it. And it was certainly more exciting than most government gigs. Department of Agriculture? Interior? Could you imagine? The Soviet Russia Division, or SR, became our home away from home. And just as the agency was known as a boys' club, we formed our own group. We began thinking of ourselves as the pool, and we were stronger for it. Plus, the commute wasn't bad. We'd take buses or streetcars in bad weather and walk on nice days. Most of us lived in the neighborhoods bordering downtown, Georgetown, DuPont, Cleveland Park, Cathedral Heights. We lived alone in walk-up studios so small one could practically lie down and touch one wall with her head and the other with her toes. We lived in the last remaining boarding houses on Mass Avenue, with lines of bunk beds and 10:30 curfews. We often had roommates, other government gals with names like Agnes or Peg, who were always leaving their pink foam curlers in the sink, or peanut butter stuck to the back of the butter knife, or used sanitary napkins improperly wrapped in the small wastebasket next to the sink. Only Linda Murphy was married back then, and only just married. The marrieds never stayed long. Some stuck it out until they got pregnant, but usually as soon as an engagement ring was slipped on, they'd plan their departure. We'd eat Safeway sheet cake in the break room to see them off. The men would come in for a slice and say they were awfully sad to see them go. But we'd catch that glimmer in their eye as they thought about whichever newer, younger girl might take their place. We'd promised to keep in touch.